Bloomberg Intelligence, valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
We think that there is a case for waiting to raise rates until there are more tangible signs of wage or price inflation than are currently evident. So in other words, we believe that a rate hike would be better off in early 2016.
6:20 on Wall Street, and joining us this morning, Bloomberg Intelligence economist Josh Wright. Josh, this is the United States. We don't take advice from other people. We give it. Christine Lagarde at the IMF yesterday, roiling markets, telling the Fed to hold off.
Yes, she took a more assertive tone than people are used to hearing from the IMF. But the reality is that the IMF is in the business of giving advice to other countries. And while in the past it may have been more deferential to the U.S. than with other countries, you know, it looks like perhaps a new day is dawning, whether that's a question of Ms. Lagarde's, you know, own personal take on leadership, or this is a question of the changing, global playing field in international finance. When you see the rise of the emerging markets and how, our legacy financial institutions need to compete with new ones that are being set up by China, hard to say. But one thing that's not that you don't hear in that quote is where she said, she said that she thought that the Fed should hold off on raising rates. She did endorse the Fed's current policy process of being data dependent. So, and
well, how do you be data dependent and then set a date?
Well, it's what she did is she's conditioning it. She's saying, we're looking at the data and we think that you won't want to raise rates until a certain time, right? And that's, you know, it's a subjective judgment call. There's no question. And reasonable people are going to differ. But the reality is that, no, the U.S. is not, and certainly not the Federal Reserve, is not in the business of taking advice from other people. And they've been pretty clear about the way they see the markets and what kind of process they're going to use.
Also, that sort of implies to me, if you give a time frame, that if they start next year, then the pace of increases might have to be more rapid, as we heard from Neil Dutta of Renaissance Macro, his suggestion yesterday.
Absolutely. In fact, Fed policymakers have been talking about that for a while, trying to explain that in their mind, the critical thing isn't when you start the rate hike cycle, but really how quickly you're raising rates after that initial hike, what they call the post-liftoff path of policy is going to look like. And they've been trying to reassure everyone that they're going to go slowly. There are a number of people who've talked about the possibility that the Fed might raise rates just once and then wait for a while, or once or twice, and then wait a couple more months to see that feed through into the economy.
You just said they're data dependent, and oh, you know what? We get some data today, don't we?
I guess we do. I think there must be something. Can we look through the calendar? Oh, it's the jobs report. It's Jobs Friday, so everyone stay tuned. Because the June FOMC meeting is unlikely to yield a rate hike. It's really more about the details in this report. When you're looking at the composition of growth, that's one of the crucial things. One of the things we've seen in the previous data releases in the last couple of weeks is signs that jobs and manufacturing may be turning around. That could be great if that's confirmed in this jobs report, because it would suggest that some of the weakness in the first quarter really is subsiding, the effects of the stronger dollar are subsiding, and that the U.S. economy really will recover and take off in the second half of the year.
Somebody also told me to look at wage and price inflation, specifically with the employment cost index and the average hourly earnings.
That's right, because given the run-up in the dollar, we expect that the export sector is going to continue to be weak for a number of months. That means that consumer spending is going to be really important for propelling the U.S. economy forward. And consumer spending is going to depend on income growth. So that's why you want to keep your eye on average hourly earnings today. It's not so much a question of wage inflation at the moment, because that's a lagging indicator. And it seems like wage costs are going to be contained for a little while longer anyway. But you look at average hourly earnings today, I think primarily from the perspective of what does it mean for consumer spending, because that's going to drive growth.
What's the what's your number for non-farm payrolls?
The Bloomberg consensus forecast is 226,000.
Which is a little lighter, but it's still,
it's not gangbusters like we saw prior to March, but it's a very strong number. Anytime you're above 200, you're still going to be making some pretty good progress.
Okay, that comes out at 8:30. Also, I know you listen to my small business report every day. Right. Small business hiring.
Can't live without it. can't sleep without it.
NFIB strong for a fifth consecutive month. This is the employment part of the overall number.
That's right.
Small business is going gangbusters.
Sorry?
Gangbusters? Small business? Yes?
Small business is doing well, yes. They it looks like they're going to have a decent bounce, but we'll get the rest of their data out next week on Tuesday.
Josh Wright of Bloomberg Intelligence providing unique real-time research and context on the industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Terminal customers, you can access this function at BIGO.